with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After Jesus had revealed himself to his disciples and eaten breakfast with them, he said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said then to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that he had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go about where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and drag you to a place you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I promised when we were together on April Fool's Day that in 6 weeks we would have the conclusion of the gospel that had begun that day, that the church separates in this Easter season, so that in essence the entirety of the Easter season can be caught up in this scene of the Lord's reconstituting Peter in love through conversion. That Peter had been so crestfallen, picking at his own scabs of interior sinfulness, that it was hard for him to experience the joy of the resurrection. His apostasy had led him to lose confidence, and he had just basically gone back to what he was doing before because he felt like a total failure. So Jesus came, and he asked him, not once, not twice, but three times, just like Peter had denied three times, Jesus, whether he loved him. And then he gave him a very concrete application to show that love. That Peter's love for the Lord would be shown in his loving those whom the Lord loved so much to die on Calvary. And that Jesus would trust Peter enough to give him his sheep, his lambs, so that he would not only protect or tend them, but that he would also nourish them with the same protection and nourishment the Good Shepherd had given to those sheep he had made shepherds of his flock, Peter and the other apostles. We went 6 weeks ago through the Greek verbs here between agape and philia, that Jesus was asking Peter for a total self-sacrificial type of love, and Peter was responding with the love of friendship. But Jesus wanted to show that Peter was capable of that total self-sacrificial love. And so after, in that third time where he had downgraded the ask to Peter, "Do you love me as a friend?" And Peter said, "You know all things, Lord, you know that I love you as a friend." Jesus accepted it, but then he said, "When you were younger, you used to do what you wanted. But when you're older, somebody else is going to crucify you." That's what the Greek language means, St. John uses. That you will pay the supreme sacrifice of love for me and for my sheep. And then he finished the whole thing by just saying, "Follow me." And Peter would follow the Lord all the way to his own Calvary in the circus of Caligula and Nero in Rome. And through that Calvary, that upside down crucifixion, to heaven in Jesus' eternal right side. And the Lord's particular care to Peter is a particular care for each of us. No matter how many times we have betrayed the Lord each day gives us the chance to say, "Sister Kara, you had a feast day this week. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me?" And then he's going to give us Juan Lucas in order to tend and feed. He's going to give us each other to care about. He's going to send even strangers into our lives so that we're going to be able to love Christ in them and to become ever more the image of the Good Shepherd. This is what the Lord does. This is the path of salvation. Today, on this 99th anniversary of the apparitions of Our Lady to the three Pastorinhos, the three shepherd children, Jacinta, Francisco, and Luzia, in Fatima, we are opened up to a particular way in which we, out of love for the Lord, participate in the feeding and the tending of His lamb and of His sheep. When Mary appeared to these three kids, 7, 8, and 10 at the time, she asked them to enter into her maternal love, her own caring and tending for the flock of her son, begging them to join her in praying for the conversion of the poor sinners, to sacrifice for the conversion of the poor sinners. She taught them how to pray the rosary the right way. You probably know how the three shepherd children were praying the rosary at the time. They had gotten one of these little flyers that showed you how to pray the rosary, and we've all seen them, and it just says on this bead you pray a Pai Nosso, and on this bead you pray an Ave Maria, and then when you get back you pray a Gloria. And so the way they would pray the rosary is Pai Nosso, Ave Maria, Ave Maria, Ave Maria, Ave Maria, Ave Maria, all the way to Gloria. And so she had to teach them that there were full prayers to say. But they took it up. She taught them a prayer to pray between the mysteries of the rosary. O meu Jesus, perdoai-nos, livrai-nos dos fogos do inferno, levai todas as almas para o céu, especialmente as mais precisadas de vossa misericórdia. Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us. Not just save me, save us all from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those most in need of your mercy. She was teaching them to care not just for the sheep and the lambs who were present in the fold of her son, but the most lost sheep and lambs. She also asked them to pray through the body, to sacrifice for them. And they did. They immediately started to act on Mary's words, kneeling for hours on the hardened floor, tying primitive cilices, primitive cords around their stomach or around their leg to sacrifice a little bit more. One time, Mr. Martu, the father of Francisco Jacinta, saw Francisco crying and said, "Why are you crying?" He was entering into the Lord's own love, entering into Calvary, entering into the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary. Mary had let them know that they would suffer, and they suffered willingly out of love for the conversion of sinners. They caught the terrible influenza of 1918 in Portugal, and they had been told by Our Lady that she would take them soon, so they didn't want to waste any time. Jacinta suffered a great deal and died quickly. Francisco, they had to remove even two of his ribs, but he did it without anesthesia. And when the nurses said, "How is it that you're not complaining and screaming?" he just said very precociously, "I had a great teacher." meaning Our Lady, that He was constantly in her school of maternal love for Christ's sheep and lambs. And Mary taught these three children what the stakes were. She showed them a three-part vision. First vision was what really happens to the souls in hell, that this isn't an imaginary thing of Dante's fervent and effervescent mind, but it was real. And what they saw horrified them. And they were willing to do everything they could so that nobody would go there. Showed them what would happen with the progress of atheistic communism and how many people would suffer. She showed them in the third part of the message of Fatima, a long way of the cross going toward a hill with the sides of the streets filled with martyred religious lay people and clergy, and a bishop in white being shot and killed at the end of that road, something that was fulfilled to some degree 35 years ago today, St. Peter's Square, when the bishop in white was in fact shot. But because, frankly, our Francisco, would you sing his prayers? As John Paul II said in a radio message from the Gemelli Hospital to the people who had assembled in St. Peter's Square to pray for him, a mother's hand guided the bullet that pierced 5 vital organs. Basically saved his life. She also showed the children the solution, the antidote to what she had indicated to them, because what unites hell, the triumph of atheistic communism, and the persecution of the church is sin, and the response to sin has to be faith. That's why she said that the antidote was consecration to her Immaculate Heart, a heart that's pure, made so by the sprinkling of water, as Ezekiel had prophesied, by baptism and by the second baptism of the sacrament of confession. A heart that says fiat, a heart that sees with purity, sees God in others, in circumstances, etc. And as the future Pope Benedict wrote in 2000 about this message of Fatima, a heart like that is stronger than all the bullets and the bombs, and we could even add hijacked airplanes. Greater than all the hatred that the world could muster. So Francisco, Jacinta, and Luzia consecrated themselves to Mary's Immaculate Heart and brought the message so that the whole world might be consecrated to Mary's Immaculate Heart, because this would be the way that her Son would save us from the fires of hell and bring all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of His mercy. One of the things that I've pondered many, many times, because I've spent so much time in Fatima, is why did Mary come to a 7, 8, and 10-year-old to entrust this mission? Why didn't Mary appear to 3 Carthusians? Why didn't Mary appear to a handful of Carmelites? Why didn't Mary wait until Cardinal John O'Connor founded the Sisters of Life? Why'd she go to 3 little kids? I think the answer is because they would take her message seriously. And a lot of the times, as we grow on up and we've heard these appeals over and over again, we don't respond as well as we ought to, because we've seen so many other people respond with stupidity. Mary came to them and they acted. They took what she asked seriously and staked their whole life on it. Francisco and Jacinta, for just the short period of time that they would remain on earth, and Lucy all the time until she was 96. continuing to keep that message alive and to continue to live it, first as a Dorothean and then a Carmelite herself. They recognized that there was a huge need to pray and to suffer for Christ's sheep and lambs. And their entire life from that point forward became a prayer with a pure heart in union with the love of the Mother God the Father chose for His Son and He from the cross chose for us. How do we tend and feed Christ's sheep in this way? We do it not just by our own power. We don't need Our Lady to appear to us today, 99 years after she appeared to them, to reiterate the message. We just got to accept the message. Just like she asked them, out of love for Christ's sheep and lambs, to pray and to sacrifice, so she asks us. And God the Father sends the Holy Spirit to help us to become so inflamed by that love that we will respond just as heroically as they did.